I gotta come over here and help you.
I have a favor.
Can you put that back just about?
I know you can't see anybody, huh? I know you're like.
Yeah. If you don't.
Hi, honey. I'll try. I move all over the place. So I just want to encourage all you young couples, start having more babies. Think I'm kidding? I'm not. We've expanded the nursery, and they painted last week, and on Wednesday we're getting new carpet. And so see, somebody's ruined. I just want to encourage you to start having more babies. We have more room. When you have more room, you need more babies. Amen? So last week, I started talking about us being in a war. And I was talking about a war that we didn't start, we didn't sign up for. But if you are a born-again Christian, you are in the war. Amen? And there's only two kinds of Christians. There's armed Christians and there's unarmed Christians. So let's go to Ephesians 6:10. And I know that the armor of God has been preached inside and out. It's been preached. It's amazing how much preaching there is on it. So I want to encourage you, hear the word, and then go and listen to other people so you can add upon. Amen? But Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord. He didn't ever tell us to be strong within ourselves. He told us to be strengthened and empowered in our Lord God. And in the power, in that explosive power, that ability, that miracle-working might, of his might, which is that word might there means an inherent force. So we are to be strong, not in ourselves, but we are to be strong in the Lord. And we talked about authority and power, that God has given us that authority, that ability and that right to act. And then he's given us his power, the ability. So we stand strong in the Lord, in the ability and in the right to act on his defense. Amen? In our life. Then it says, put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the wiles, those schemes, those tricks of the devil. He knows your patterns. He knows different strategies to come against you. When you're weak, when you're tired, right? When you're vulnerable, he knows schemes. So we need to absolutely put on the armor so we can stand against those schemes. And then it says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our battle isn't against people. Too many times, things come against us, situations, circumstances, and we start pointing at everybody. It's everybody else's fault, right? But we need to see that there is an organized kingdom of darkness that is coming against us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness. It's not chaos. This organized kingdom of darkness is absolutely, it has strategy. And it wants you. Amen? But every rank, every demonic force has got to answer to Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:15 says that Christ disarmed every principality and every power. Amen?
Amen?
And we need to see that. And we need to walk in his power. Amen? Then the word in Ephesians, I'm just doing a real quick highlight of what we did last week, because we're going to keep going. Then it says in Ephesians 6, 13 through 17, to take up the whole armor. No soldier goes into war half suited up. They don't just have boots and a hat on. Amen? Take up the whole armor. Not part of it. Not some of it. But all of it. Every day. And then Paul says this. And when you've done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore. We learn that this is an emphatic Semitic triplet. It signifies extreme importance, making a concept foundational and utterly important. The word stand means to oppose, hold your ground, refuse to retreat. We don't retreat when things look hard. We don't hide under the covers thinking it's going to change. No, we stand. And when we've done all to stand, we keep on standing. Amen? We don't back up. We don't retreat. We stand. And then he says, put on the belt of truth. We learned last week what the belt of truth is. A belt holds everything together in a Roman soldier's armor. The sword was attached to it. The breastplate rested on it. And truth signifies what we believe. We need to know what the word says. We need to know what the word says we can have, who we are, and what we can do in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know who He is. So many times people have a wrong concept of who God is. We think that God's out to steal, kill, and destroy, not the enemy. Amen? We need to understand the truth of the Word of God. But we also need to stand in the truth of who we are, in our integrity. Do we stop at the stop sign? I always heard that integrity spells S-T-O-P. Sometimes when I come to a stop sign, I'll go and keep going, right? Do you stop? Integrity stops. It's doing those things, even when no one's around, you do it. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
It's living the same way privately as we do publicly. When we stand in truth, we're grounded, we're stable. And that's what truth does in our life. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go on to the next one. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects the heart. It would protect those vital organs. And in the Word of God, the heart actually represents our motives, our desires, our emotions, and our consciousness. Righteousness guards all of these things. Oops. In the Word, you'll see righteousness used three different ways. And so many times when we come to it, we don't realize what kinds of righteousness it's talking about. And right now I want to talk about two kinds. Positional. You are right standing with God. You are righteous if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is positional righteousness. It's nothing that you can do. Your righteousness, the things you do are as filthy rags compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our righteousness is in Him. Amen? That is positional righteousness. But then there's the practical righteousness. And that is when we choose to live holy and obedient to the Word of God. When believers start living in condemnation, when we start living in guilt or compromise, we start pulling away from God and we start running and we start retreating. Amen? Satan loves to throw heart shots at us. He wants to hit us in our heart. What really makes you think you're forgiven? You're a disappointment to God. These are things that the devil throws at us, guys. It's real. And I bet there's not one person in here that hasn't happened to. Why? They're heart shots. He's trying to get you to retreat. Sit down. Right? You're a hypocrite. These are things that he throws at us. The devil attacks believers after we have failed. He doesn't attack us like that before. So, what do? What does righteousness do? We repent quickly. We go before God, who says, and God says he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We go before the Father, and if we sin, we get righteous before him. How? By asking forgiveness. Amen? We walk humbly. We don't walk in pride. We walk humbly before our God. And we refuse condemnation in our heart when it comes. Amen?
Amen.
So we put on the breastplate of righteousness. The third thing that we do, it says to do is having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Roman soldiers wore boots with spikes on the bottom. It helped them prevent them from slipping or falling. Peace is not like the absence of trouble like what Tim was talking about. It's confidence in the middle of it. We know who our God is. Amen. And we have peace in it. When peace is gone, believers become reactive. What am I going to do? How do I do it? And we start trying to make things happen on our own. Amen? We lose our peace. We start trying to do it instead of getting word from God and having that peace in the situation that he is going to show us the way to do it and how to go through it. Amen? We can be manipulated easily. We can become overwhelmed. Satan tries to shake your peace before he attacks your faith. If he can get me off in anxiousness and anxieties, then I lose my head. Amen? Mm-hmm. Peace keeps you standing when everything is shaking.
Yeah.
Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then this. And I really want to go here and take some time, real time here. Above all. Say above all.
Above.
Say above all.
Above.
Above all.
Above all.
I like that. Taking the shield of faith. Faith is not simply positive thinking. It is not a denial of really what's going on around us.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Faith is confidence in who God is. Even when the circumstances look otherwise. Faith says, even if they don't look like it, God is still faithful. Our God is so faithful, you guys. Faith does not pretend the battle isn't real. It refuses to let the battle rewrite the truth. A firefighter doesn't argue with flames. He trusts the gear that's been tested in the fire. Faith isn't about ignoring the heat. It's trusting God who's already proven himself. Amen?
Amen.
So, let's take a visual. So the Roman soldier had these huge shields, right? They were large enough to cover their entire body. They layered them with wood, leather, and metal. And they often soaked them in water to extinguish the fiery darts that were being thrown at them. Fiery darts just didn't wound soldiers. It caused panic. And it caused them to become distracted. Faith extinguishes the flames, the fiery darts that Satan is pointing at us and shooting at us. Amen? Roman soldiers advanced together, locking shields into a wall. One shield alone protected one soldier, right? Because it was large. But that's not how the Roman soldiers generally took up battle. They lined up together and they put their shields together as a force. Many shields together protected the entire army. A single coal removed from the fire cools quickly. Amen?
Yeah.
You build a fire and you take out one coal and it just kind of fizzles out. But a coal left in a pile stays hot. Faith weakens when we isolate from others. Mm-hmm. It's strengthened when we come together in fellowship with one another. That's why the enemy pushes believers towards isolation. He wants us to become offended. Offense is a trap, you guys. It's the bait of Satan. He wants us to withdraw. He doesn't need to destroy your faith. He only needs to separate you. Fiery darts are sudden. They come out of nowhere. They attack us emotionally. We start becoming offended, angry, mad, bitter. They're intrusive and it's repetitive. And they come as thoughts more times than they come as events in our life. Too many times the fiery darts that we are standing up against are thoughts that are raging against us. Have you ever noticed that? Your thought life, whew, we're going to get there. We start thinking about this will never change. Oh, it's hopeless. Oh, it's hopeless. Reminds me of Eeyore. Life is horrible. It's never going to change. Faith stands up against those things that come against us. It doesn't retreat. It doesn't go into an oh, woe is me attitude. Amen?
Amen.
Another thing that our thoughts will bombard us with is this. You're the only one going through it. God's forgotten you. Just give in. It's easier. A dart doesn't ask permission before it hits you. If the shield isn't raised, the hit is immediate. Faith must respond quickly, not eventually. We need to start coming again. We need to start raising up a shield of faith. We need to start standing in faith. The Word of God says this in Romans. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you know that you cannot speak one thing and think something contrary? Did you know that?
Yes.
When thoughts start bombarding you, you need to start speaking against those things. Because that is how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing. I always tell my starfish story, but I go back to it because it was such a beginning in my life. It was such a monumental point. And fear of starfish, you guys, was overwhelming. If you haven't heard my story, I started jumping up and down, screaming and crying because I had a little starfish on my finger. And it's not normal. But I got a hold of the Word that says, God's not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I began speaking that word over and over and over. What was I doing? I was hearing the Word. I was speaking the Word. I was building up faith. And that's how faith comes. It comes by hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
Because the Word of God builds faith in us. I wasn't building something up within myself. I wasn't mentally ascending to something. I was building faith from the very word of God that says, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And by the time I was done doing that, speaking the word, and it was a couple hours, you guys, I went out and picked up a starfish. Why? Because faith has action.
Amen.
When we believe something, we step out into it and we take it up. Amen?
Amen?
So we raise up the shield of faith that when all the fiery darts from hell start coming against our thoughts, that's what we do. Is this making sense, anybody?
Amen.
Amen. The next says, take the helmet of salvation. So, I want to talk about this. The helmet. The helmet goes on your head. We're talking about the mind, right? Our mind determines perception, the reactions when situations and circumstances come in our life. Our behavior. Oh, how do I behave when I'm hit? Somebody says something mean about me. Somebody doesn't like me. Somebody lies against me. What do I do? What do I do with my thinking? Amen? It says, take up the helmet of salvation. Salvation reminds us who our identity is in. My identity isn't in my last name. Although I love my last name, my identity doesn't come from my last name. My identity is in my Lord Jesus Christ and who He is. Amen? My destiny, He has pre-planned good works for me that I would walk in them. Amen? And my security comes in Him. Many believers live saved, but they think defeated. They're always just going through. I'm just going through. How are you doing? Oh, just going through. Why? Because their mind, they haven't learned to renew their mind. Romans 12, 2 and 3. You need to get into Robin's renewing battlefield for the mind class. Romans 12, 2 and 3 says, do not be conformed. That word fashioned after this world. But be ye transformed. Transformed. Metamorphized. Going from one state of being something to something totally different. We are to go from one state, how we were, to something totally different, which is a child of the Most High God. I need to think how God thinks about different situations, different circumstances that come into my life. Amen? I am not to think the same old way. If you're thinking the same way you did 10 years ago, you need to be knowing that you're not renewing your mind. Because the truth of the matter is, we should be thinking differently. We have not been, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you may be able to prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will for your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, that we are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. To the obedience of Christ. We aren't to let our minds go haywire. You know, a lot of times, I'm going to say it. Okay. My husband, I loved how he put things. He could preach the word fantastically, and he had a lot of different ways to say things. And he said, a lot of times what we do is we fornicate with thoughts. We sit there and we play with thoughts that we shouldn't be playing with, you guys. And when we do that, that's when we begin to go into sin. You don't just jump into a behavior. You have to have a thought first, and then comes the behavior. So when we step into sin, it's because we have been allowing ourselves to sit and think and contemplating on that thought that we shouldn't be thinking and contemplating on. We need to take it captive to the obedience of Christ and go forward in what the Word says. So that way we can walk out things in obedience. Amen? Does this make sense to you? Amen. That is taking the helmet of salvation and putting it on. The next is a sword of the Spirit. And above... Oh, wait. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is both a defensive and an offensive weapon. Defensive and offensive. It is intended not only for protection, but also for an attack. Defensively, the sword of the Spirit deflects the fiery darts of the enemy by refuting lies. Satan's primary weapon is deception, you guys. If he can deceive you, he can get you into all kinds of different sin and lies, unbeliefs of who you are, what God's called you to be, who God is. Amen? The Word of God protects the mind and the heart by countering the attacks with absolute truth. You know, when Satan came and tempted Jesus, Satan attacked him in the wilderness. Okay, that when Satan came and attacked and tried to attack Jesus, Jesus didn't argue with him. He didn't try to say that you're lying. What did he do? It is written. And he didn't think it. He spoke it.
Yeah.
He spoke the word. It is written. It is written. He did it three times. He knew what the Word of God was. He didn't have it just sitting on a rock or on the bedside. Thank you. Table. Nightstand. That's the word I was looking for. Nightstand. On the nightstand. He had it and he was speaking it out. And he was using the Word of God against the attacks that the enemy was throwing at him. Amen? We need to do the same thing. The enemy is not afraid of the Bible you own, but he fears the words that you speak. We have got to be speaking the Word of God out of our mouth. Picture this in a courtroom. Satan is the accuser, constantly pointing his finger. You failed. You're guilty. You'll never change. If you stay silent, those accusations sound convincing. But the moment you speak the word, there is now, this is what the Word of God says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have got to take the word, put it in our mouth, and speak it out, because that is when it becomes force. Amen? Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is living, is powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Too often we think that if when we start speaking the word, we sound funny. We sound like we're just speaking things into the air. And I got to tell you, when we start getting those attacks from the enemy, those accusations, those lies, we've got to pick up the Word of God. And we got to start wielding it. And we got to start speaking the Word out of our mouth. Church, if we do not do this, We allow the enemy to attack us. And we are not becoming offensive in the battle that we are in. God's not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I thank you, Father God, that you, I am the head and I am above and not beneath. The head and not the tail. We have got to start speaking the word. Because if we don't speak the word into our situations and circumstances, the situations circumstance will speak to you. And it will again consume you. We have got to rise up. God has given us everything that we need to do to be able to stand. Amen? And then at the very end, and I know we're running out of time, that's why I'm going so fast. He says this. Praying always. Say praying always.
Praying always.
Say praying always.
Praying always.
Say praying always.
Praying always.
2 times a month we get together here. I'm going to go here first. 2 times a month we get together. And we come together collectively to pray over this community, to pray for our families, to pray for those who are sick, to pray for one another. If you aren't here, you're missed. And I'm going to say it is an amazing time that we have as a body of Christ coming together to be able to pray always. Amen? But I'm going to say this. And pray in the spirit, oh, it keeps going. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. We need to be praying with all kinds of prayer, not just one kind of prayer. We need to be doing those prayers all day that we're shooting up to God. We need to do different kinds of prayer. Fervent prayer, where we're on our face, where we're crying out to God. We need to be doing corporate prayer, just like I was talking about. And we need to be praying in the Holy Spirit, which is tongues. Amen?
Amen.
We need to be alert. Praying keeps us watchful.
Yes.
Prayer keeps us engaged in what the Father would have us do in the warfare that we are in.
Yeah.
Amen? He reveals the strategies that the enemy has and is coming against you in. I'm going to wrap this up here. Every piece of armor points us to Christ. He is the truth. He is our righteousness. He is our peace. He is the author of our faith. He is our salvation. He is the living word. To put on the armor is to put on Christ daily. And the word says to do that. Amen? And prayer is how we stay clothed. God did not call the church to survive this age. He called us to stand firm in it. The battle's real. The victory is settled. Jesus is seated above every principality, power, and name, and we are seated with them.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
On our watch, we need to stand firm. We can't sit down, and we can't retreat. We need to pray always. We need to walk in the authority that God's given us, and we need to fight the fight of faith. We're not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. Why? Because we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? The power of His might. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Praise you. Father God, I just praise you and thank you for your word. I thank you that you have given us everything so we can fight, Father God, this fight that we are in. Father, and it is not in our might and or in our power, but it is in you. Father, as we go out right now, Father, let us see that this. Let us stand for our families, Father, our communities, praying always, Father, Reveal the word more and more to us. Show us the things that we need to get rid of in our lives, Father, so we can stand clean before you. And Father, we give you the glory, we give you the praise, and we give you the honor that you so deserve in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Hug about 4 or 9 people. Tell them you love them. 4 to 9 or 49.
I was telling you, Tim. I was telling Tim about taking every thought captive.
Oh, wait.
That